There was a gentleman who held on to that truth for almost his entire life. Bill Hodge went to be with Jesus this week, and he was holding on to the truth that all of his hope was in Jesus. He was ready to meet him. And we hope, and our prayer has been, that you and those online would know this same hope and this same truth. You guys can have a seat this morning. Well, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here, and we really are thankful for you guys being here today and this in-person service. And we're excited because today is just one step closer to us being able to continue to reach people. We get to have that second service today, and we are continuing online. And so we are so thankful because of all the restrictions. You know, we have to limit seating here. And those of you who are joining us online, thank you for being there. Thank you for continuing to watch. And we know it's hard, but many of you have been faithful. In fact, we got an email this week from a couple, an elderly couple, who said thank you for continuing to put the service online, because that they have been engaged. They said, we have not missed one service since March when we went online. And so we know it's helpful for those of you who are online. And so we will continue to be online. And what we'd like to do, for those of you who are watching online right now, will you put in the comments on whatever platform you're watching, whenever you're watching, we'll have people monitoring this. And so if you just tell us what city or town that you're watching from, we would love to know that. And we did that a couple of months ago, but we want to do that again. We just want to kind of get a feel for where you are and where you're watching from. So again, in the comment section, whatever platform, just put your city, your town, where you're watching. And then will you also do this? Will you let us know how we can pray for you? We want to know how we can be praying for you. And if there's some kind of need that you have in your life, and this is for everyone, if there's some kind of need in your life, on that connection card that you have, hard copy right here, or online, what you can do is find the connection card and click on that link and let us know how we can be praying for you. Or that same phone number that we've had since March, 401-496-9710. And just text that, and you in here can do this, those of you online can do this. If you use that phone number and just text the keyword pray, and then that link will be sent to you, and you click on that, and just let us know how we can be praying for you, because we really do want to know how we can do that. Well, for the next couple of weeks, or for only 2 weeks actually, this is like a mini series, if you will, we're going to be looking at this idea of unshakable. And with all the uncertainty that is around us, right? And you think about the past 6 months and how, you know, our life has literally been turned upside down. And think about this, all the information that we have been hearing. And I don't know if you're like me, but you try to listen, you try to understand what both sides are saying. And then both sides, it doesn't matter what side it is, everybody has their science behind their research that they, you know, put forth. And then it changes. And you're just like, what is it? I've gotten to the place to where you don't even really know what to believe anymore. It's all this uncertainty. And it's like, how do I trust this scientist over that scientist? And what do you do with that? And you, and those of you who have kids going back into school, the school system, all the uncertainty around that, and how quickly that has changed. Some of our teachers didn't even know until last week what they were supposed to do. And there's a lot of uncertainty swirling around all this. But what we want to remind you of today is that there still is this unshakable foundation in our life that we all have available to us. We can still live in uncertain times, having to be very flexible and letting everything be kind of fluid around us, but still live on an unshakable foundation. And we need to be reminded of this today. And I want to do this by starting off with just a simple question of what foundation is your life resting on? Now, just stop and pause for a second and just ask yourself, what have I been resting the foundation of my life on. For some people, it really is about, oh, I just need to take one more course. I need to read one more book. I need to get one more degree or one more certification. And that's where you're resting the foundation of your life on. You're resting in that. Some people will rest their foundation for their life. They're resting on their career. And once you reach a certain level in your career, you think you're there. And now it's like, how do I get to the next level? And so you're putting all your weight on that. You're resting on getting, and you are constantly trying to climb that ladder, if you will. Some people, it's about our finances, isn't it? So we rest that we've made the right investments. We rest in the idea, have I invested in the right portfolio and that everything, you know, looks and is going to be there. And then when 08 happened, you see how quickly all of that can disappear. Some people rest their foundation for their life in a relationship. And you and your whole life is about this relationship, and you have rested your life in that relationship only to be abandoned by the very person that you had trusted, the very person that you had rested your life on, and your whole life was about this relationship. See, all of that will collapse. And whether it was them abandoning you, or whether it was them breathing their last breath, at some point that relationship will end. Because all of us will breathe our last breath one day here on this earth. We can't rest the foundation of our life on anything but God. That's the unshakable foundation. In the Old Testament, there's all this imagery. So many times we find this in the Old Testament, this idea that God is our rock. Here's one place, Psalm 62 and verse number 6. It says, He alone, meaning God, God is my rock and my salvation. God is my fortress where I will not be shaken. Do you hear that? That you can find that type of imagery all throughout the Old Testament. And do you know what? Jesus uses the same kind of imagery. And we're going to look at that today. But before we do, I want to give you a local picture. Because a picture is worth, what? 1,000 words. That's right. So check this out. How many of you know where this is? Anybody know where this is here in the room? Yeah, right there. That's right. House on the Rock in Jamestown. It's right off of Jamestown there. And the locals know it just as the House on the Rock. Its proper name is the Cleanstone House. This house was built in 1904. It was built by Mr. Wharton from Philadelphia, who was looking for a summer place, a place to live his summer out. He's an architect. Before he built this house, he was he had property at Fort Wetherill. And there, in the early 1900s, the government expanded the fort and they took his property. And he thought, I'll show you. I'm going to build my house where you can't touch me and nobody will want to be there. Right. And so he did. He built his house right there on that rock. And then he had it for years. And it sat vacant for several years because the family didn't want to really sell it to anybody. They didn't know or wasn't related to them. And then finally, a distant cousin in the 60s came along, Mr. Wood. Mr. Wood was an architect from Boston. And he would come down from Boston on the weekends. He ended up buying this in the 60s. 10,000 square feet, 23 rooms, 65 windows. You know how much he bought this for? $3,000. But it was ran down. It was vandalized. It had been abandoned for several years, and he had to go in there and fix it all back up. But I want you to think about this. This house has been on that rock since 1904. It's 116 years. It has been sitting on that rock. And you stop and think about this. The hurricane of 1938 that came barreling through there, that house didn't move. Think about all the nor'easters that came up the Narragansett Bay. That house didn't move. Think about Hurricane Bob in the 90s. That house didn't move. And then I found this picture. here's that same house dwarfed by Queen Mary II, that ginormous ship. You know, and here's this little tiny house, and I want you to think about this. This little tiny, dwarfed by that ginormous ship passing by. But do you realize that the foundation that that house sits on could sink that ship? If that ship ran into that rock, that foundation, down goes Queen Mary II. Whatever you are building your life on, whatever the foundation of your life, if it's resting on God and His love for you, it will withstand any storm that 1938 can bring, or the 1990s can bring. It will withstand whatever the size of the problem that you have. If it feels like the size of Queen Mary, the second ship, that rock, the foundation of who God is, can sink it. Your foundation of your life can last through it all. So, the question is this morning, of what is your foundation resting on? What is the foundation of your life resting on? Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 7. Here we find a parable, and remember what a parable is. It's this particular parable is Jesus speaking. He's speaking a truth, a spiritual truth. He's just making up a story. He's illustrating something for the purpose of a spiritual truth that he wants people to apply to their life. So this is how we know that we can apply this to our spiritual life. To what are you building your life on, or what are you resting your life on? What foundation? In this parable, we're going to see this. We're going to see two builders, two different kinds of builders. We're going to see two different foundations, and we're going to also see two different outcomes. So Matthew chapter 7, verse number 24. Let's go. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Notice this. Listen and follows. It's about us listening and also following. It's just not good enough to come and listen. It's just not good enough to open your Bible and listen to God speak to you. It's about you also following it. It's about you applying it to your life. So it's about somebody who listens and also applies it to their life. He says, here's our builder. Here's our first builder that Jesus introduces us to. He says, that person's wise. That's a wise builder. And he says, that person, and here's the foundation, the first foundation that we see. He builds his house. He builds his life. He rests his life on a rock, a solid rock. And what is true, he says, notice what happens about this. And though the rain comes in torrents, and though the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. Stop and think about that. Are you building your life? Are you resting your life on bedrock? The bedrock of God. That will last whatever life will bring towards you. And then we're introduced to a second builder. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, anybody who just shows up and listens and then just walks out, anybody who opens God's word and reads it but doesn't let it transform them, he says that person is foolish. So here's our second builder, a foolish person. He says that person is like a person who builds his house on sand. And then he goes on to say, and when the rains come, because they're going to come, we all know life. We all are in the middle of this world pandemic, right? And so we know life is going to come at us. We know that the floods are going to rise up. We know that the winds are going to beat us. And if it's not the coronavirus, it's going to be something else. It's going to come. Life is not easy. Life is hard. And so we know that doing life, it's not going to be easy. And here Jesus says, what's going to happen if you build your life on academics, if you build your life on your career, on finances, or on a relationship, he says, that's all going to come down with a mighty crash. It's going to have devastating effects in your life because you're not going to know. You're going to get a whiplash from turning from one way to the other. Do you know why some Christ followers can go through this whole coronavirus thing without being all unrest inside? Do you know why some can go through this having peace even though it's so much chaos going around? It's because they've learned how to rest their life on this foundation of who God is and His love for your life. A foundation that will never change. A foundation that will never change is God's love for you. And this is a foundation that you and I need to rest on. Here's the way the Apostle John put it. In 1 John chapter 4, and this is where we're going to be the rest of our time this morning. 1 John chapter 4, the Apostle John. Remember who John is. John did life with Jesus. This is this apostle. This is the apostle who watched Jesus live his life. This is the apostle who watched Jesus lay down his life, and then he saw the resurrected Jesus. He saw Jesus come back. It's that apostle. Here is what that apostle says. He says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The very character, the very essence of who God is. He is love. I want to illustrate it in this way. If you had to replace a plank on your deck, and you looked at it, and you said, oh, it's about this wide. And you would go and cut a plank, oh, about this wide. And you hope it will fit in there, right? No, you know what you do? You go grab a tape measure. You know why you grab a tape measure? Because this is the standard that you compare it up to. If this is what's going to tell you exactly the length of the board that you need. If you need a board cut 40 and a half inches long, you go grab your tape. This is the standard. This is what you measure it up against. And this is what the Apostle John is saying. John is saying, this is who God is. You want to know what love is? Then you look to God. And this is exactly what Donald Miller did in his book, Crazy Close. This quote is from there. And Donald Miller was looking to God. Donald Miller is a Christ follower. And in his book, A Crazy Close, he says, love is not something that is earned. Real love has to be given. Where did he get that idea? From God? Why? Because he was looking to God for the definition. He was looking to God and his demonstration of his love for us. I struggled with this for a long time in my childhood. I can remember because my parents would be the ones who would get the call from the teacher. They'd be the ones who get the call from the principal. They would be the ones who would get the call they're the ones who would get the door knocked from somebody they didn't even know because of something that I had did. And I can remember thinking, oh, if I just clean the garage today for Dad while he's at work, he'll love me. He'll forget all the bad stuff that I did and he'll love me more. And so I would clean up the garage and I'd get it all, sweep it out, organize all his tools, get them all up on the pegboard and hang them up. And I would just think, oh, Dad's going to come home and he's going to love me more because of this. And somehow, in my mind, as a child, I would think, this will wash away all the bad junk that I've done. And it wasn't until I was early in my teens, in trouble again. At this point, I lived in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I'll never forget this moment. It was a life-defining moment for me. I'm in my dad's bedroom. And he's talking to me about what I had done. And I remember his eyes welling up with tears. And him saying, Rick, it doesn't matter what you do. You can never break the love I have for you. Rick, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the trouble that you get in. I will always love you. Nothing can change that. Maybe you didn't have a parent that loved you like that. Maybe you didn't have a mom and a dad who loved you unconditionally. But you have a Heavenly Father who loves you unconditionally. We all have that in common. And it doesn't matter where you are in your spiritual journey. God loves you unconditionally. And here's, going back to our text, the Apostle John, here's what he says in verse number 9, if I can get it to pull up on the screen. Here we go. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. Do you see this? God showed, or God demonstrated, His love towards us by what? Sending, or by giving. Remember, God's love isn't earned, it's given. Love isn't earned, it's given. And here, God gave His love to us, for us, so that we could have eternal life. Some of you may be watching online, you're thinking, but you don't know what I've done. And I would say you're right. I have no idea what you have done. Some of you would share stories with me about how you hurt people. How maybe you hurt people emotionally. You hurt people maybe physically. Maybe you stole from people. I don't know what you've done. I don't need to know what you've done. But here's what I want you to know. God knows what you have done. He knew what you were going to do. He knew that He would rebel, that you would rebel against Him. He already knew that. Look the way the psalmist put it. He says, Lord, You have examined my heart and You know everything about me. So He knows, God knows your motives on the inside. When you do something and you're wanting to make, you know, that person feel better about themselves, and really, it's coming from this motive because you're trying to feel better about you, right? God knows that. He knows the motive in your heart of why you do what you do. And look, the psalmist goes on to tell us that it doesn't matter if we are sitting down or standing up. God sees you and He says, You know my thoughts. Like, this is David calling out to God saying, God, You know my thoughts. Even when I'm far away from Your presence, which you can't, you can never outrun God. You can never be somewhere where God is not. And then in verse 16, He makes this so clear. And I don't know why I went backwards. It wasn't supposed to go backwards. Let's find verse 16. I might need your help, Ella, back there. If you can pull up verse 16, because I'm getting nowhere. Here we go. And You saw me before I was born, every day of my life. Now, this, you have to grasp this truth. God, You saw me before I was even born. You saw every day of my life. Every day of my life was recorded in Your book. This is the way, in a poetic way, this is the way David is putting this. He says, every day of my life was recorded in Your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. And He still loved you. He knew who you were going to hurt. He knew who you were going to abandon. He knew who you were going to steal from. He knew all of that, and yet He still chose to send His Son to you. And look at John's conclusion in verse 16. We know how much God loves us, and because in spite of me, in spite of me being rebellious, in spite of me running from You, in spite of me not doing what You want me to do, You still love me. You still sent Jesus for me. You still did that. And because of that, we have, John says, we, those Christ followers, those disciples, we have put our trust in His love. We have put our trust on that foundation, not anything that He had earned or that He had done. He put that trust in God's love for Him. And that's what God is calling you to do and me to do. And as we do that, when we do that, when we rest our life on the foundation of God's love, it changes everything. It will change the way that you do your work. It will change the way that you respond to your supervisor at your work. It will change the way that you respond to your coworkers. You know why? Because of God's love and your love resting in that, and you understanding that you didn't earn God's love, that you don't deserve God's love, but understanding that it was just freely given. This truth, that foundational truth, will help you to love people unconditionally. Even if you didn't have a mom or a dad who loved you unconditionally. For the Christ follower, there is no excuse for us not to love people who have different political views than we do. We're in this political season right now, and it's all the tension is rising. And God would call us to respond that there is another human being on the other side of what you believe. He would call us to respond with a heart, God loves that person. And God would call me to love that person and to respond out of love and not anger. You can disagree, that's fine. But you don't have to be angry about it. You can have different political views and vote for different political people, that's fine. But you don't have to be angry about it. Mean about it. We can still demonstrate God's love. And that's what God is calling Christ followers. That's what He's calling us to do. And look, this transforming love that we have, we see this being lived out in verse number... I'm going crazy here. Verse 17. As we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Did you hear that? As we live in God, as we continue to rest on the foundation of God's love for our life is made more complete. The way that we love, our love grows more complete. Or here in this translation, it says more perfect. You know what that means? That means that you can love that person who holds an entirely different view of this world than you do. You know what this means? This means that you can love your spouse differently than somebody else who doesn't know God's foundational love. You know what this means? This means that you can respond differently to that crazy person driving in front of you, you know, on Warwick Ave. This means that the way that you loved yesterday should look different today. And it means it should look different next week. For the Christ follower, are you growing in this transformational love? If you are loving the same way that you did last month, then something's not happening inside of you. You're not allowing God's transformational love to transform you if you're still loving the same way that you did last year. Because John said, this kind of love should make you more perfect or more complete. And that is a lifelong journey. And it's a prayer that I pray would be true in my life. I pray that the way I love people today is going to be different next week, next month, and next year. It has to be if God's at work in my life. And the same thing is true in your life. The way that you love, the way that you respond needs to look different. Now, Paul said three things are going to last forever, faith, hope, and love. And then he says the greatest of these is love. What foundation is your life resting on? And I come back to this picture. Is your life resting on that rock, the foundational truth of God's love for you, that unconditional love, that love that you did not deserve, that you didn't earn, but was freely given? And if it is, then you can weather this coronavirus. You can weather your unemployment. You can weather whatever financial loss there is. You can weather whatever loss relationally there is. You can weather this storm. Just like that house did. The next step. Maybe this is the next step that you need to take. It says, I need to place my trust in God's foundational love for me. I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. Pray for me. We want to do that. If you're here in this room, will you let us know that? If you're online, will you let us know that? And you can do that by texting. Here's that phone number, 496-9710. And the word is just trust. Just text that word to us. Whether you're online or here in this room, or you can use your connection card here in this room. We want to pray for you. We want to know who you are. And what we want to do is reach out to you. But we got to know who you are. So will you do that? Will you text that to us and let us help you understand what it means to rest your life on this foundational truth of God's love for you? The other next step, it says, I will start each day off this week reminding myself of this foundational truth. God's love is never earned. It's freely given. This will help that transformation to continue to happen. I talked with somebody not too long ago, and as I was talking with them, they were like, but how can I love them? And I said, well, how did God love you? I've got to love them the same way God loved me? That's hard. You can't do that on your own. That takes the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you. But as you think about this, as you process this idea, will you do this? Will you, every day this week, remind yourself, I didn't earn God's love. He just loves me. It was freely. And then you can text that word pray to the same phone number, 496-9710. Let us know how we can pray for you. If you're online, if this is the easiest way, then use that. If you're in the room, use that phone number. Text pray. We want to pray for you this week that you will be reminded that God's love is freely given and not earned. And then, this last one. Because of God's love for me, I want to love our state by praying for it. Because of the way that God loved you, you know, this coming Saturday starts 9 days where the Church of Rhode Island, every person is invited to come who believes that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, starting this Saturday at 6 p.m. for 1 hour, 6 to 7 p.m. in some public forum somewhere outside. It's going to be outdoors, so dress accordingly. But we're calling the church for 9 straight days, 9 straight nights, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. to just pray. Let's pray for our state. To do that, we need you to register at that website. It's togetheradvancethegospel.com. Togetheradvancethegospel.com. It will be, you know, we can do all the social distancing that we need to do, but we need the Church of Rhode Island to show up. And we're praying that we could demonstrate the love of God to our church. And it starts with prayer. I hope that you'll join us. Let's respond to these truths from this song called Reckless Love. As it, in this lyrics, it tells us exactly how much God loves us.